Off the Ball Daily.
A home for your favourite podcasts from Off the Ball.
Callum Walsh has come out and publicly said he doesn't want 50 grand, he doesn't want 100 grand, whatever that might be, as the bonus. I don't know this, he wants 2 Highland cows for his growing collection.
Wow.
Okay. A burgeoning farmer there, Callum Walsh.
Nice. Subscribe to the Off the Ball Daily podcast feed right now.
Football on Off the Ball.
With William Hill. Who you got? 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.
You're welcome along to the Kickback. Myself and Keith Tracy have just been watching Arsenal 1, Manchester City 1. Arsenal left it late before finally the moment of real quality came from Eberiche Eze and Gabriel Martinelli. Was it a deserved point, Keith?
I think in the end it was a deserved point. I don't think it's any stretch of the imagination to say that Arsenal were a better team throughout, but Manchester City in transition when they nicked the ball and Rangers goes through, and the build up play from Erling Haaland, we were saying in the build up that he's got more attributes, he's more than just a finisher, but when the ball comes up to him and he gets the pass off to Rangers and he gets on his bike, you see the athleticism of him just to get through and the calmness of the head with the finish. So yeah, look, Arsenal were probing, but before Martinelli hit the back of the net, I think it was, you know, 90 minutes of football, they had 2 shots on target. So to have 68% of the ball, you've got to be more productive with it. And if you keep doing the same thing, there's an awful lot of sidewards and backwards passing. I thought Manchester City were so comfortable defensively for so long that I'd just start putting the ball into Victor Gyökeres and ask questions from there, but eventually they got it done. And that was probably the one time that Manchester City came a little bit high up the pitch, Arsenal exposed the space in behind. I thought Martinelli's touch was brilliant and his finish was absolutely outstanding.
I can't decide whether there's loads to talk about or not much at all to talk about, because like on the tactical side of it, to see Manchester City, you know, taking Erling Haaland off with 15 minutes left and playing without a recognisable striker, bringing on a midfielder, bringing on an extra defender in Nathan Aki before that, who ironically is the one who ends up playing Martinelli on side. Like, this is a world away from the type of football Pep Guardiola was playing 5-6 years ago.
Yeah, I don't know whether, you know, Guardiola is thinking, well, I'll just try and prove that there's a couple of different strings to me bow here, because Erling Haaland for me was doing really well against Saliba, was doing really well against Gabriele, he was winning the physical battle and he had a smile on his face throughout. He was bumping people, hitting people, running into the channels, and he looked like he wanted to be out there. And sometimes, you know, games can pass you by and you're going to take him off, but he was absolutely influential throughout the whole game. He was, as I say, winning the battle. So to take him off and take that backward step and think, okay, we can defend our way to this win, I think if that was any other manager in the league, there'd be massive amounts of criticism. The fact that it's Guardiola, people might shy away from it ever so slightly. But on the other side of that, I look at Mikel Arteta, and I think Martinelli was so good against Bilbao when he came off the bench. I'm thinking, could he have started today? And in hindsight, maybe Arteta will be thinking the same.
What's happened Martinelli over the last 18 months to 2 years, from a position where, you know, he's getting into double figures in terms of goals in the Premier League, and it feels like he's about to become one of the really good attacking players in the Premier League, one of the very best, and now he's not even assured of his place in the Arsenal team, far from it.
Yeah, well, I think Martinelli, I've heard people describe him to me, and this is people that aren't Arsenal fans, by the way, calling him a speedboat with no driver, that he'll just keep going and he's all speed and nothing else. And that can be true about him at times, but so every now and then, when he gets space, he can really, really hurt teams. But when teams like Manchester City did today for long periods, when they play a low block and there's no space in behind, I don't think he's a dribbler that will go past people. And not your Martinelli, he's not your ball manipulator, although he has a little bit of that. That's not really his game. He needs green grass in behind. But if you're Martinelli and Eze comes in the door and Madueke comes in the door and Trossard is already in the building, you're thinking, I need to go up a couple of levels here if I want to play football. And to be fair, he's had a brilliant, brilliant week, as you said, and Bilbao absolutely excellent and made the difference for Arsenal today.
Maybe something of a surprise that Eze didn't start, and maybe that was off the back of his performance in midweek. He came on at half time and he played in as part of the midfield three. And maybe we saw the benefits and the negatives. There was 2 or 3 times he gave the ball away deeper than Mikel Arteta would like, but obviously then the quality of the ball for the goal. Where do you like to see him play? Where is he at his best?
I think he's at his best on the right or on the left, even in the number 10. You can play him that little bit further back, but I think Miguel Marino is such a good player, but he was slightly not at the races today. He was a little bit reactive in the middle of the park, and Rangers was running the show in there. Bernardo Silva was getting the grips in there also. Rodri was having a bit of an easy time. So to get Eze in there, it's probably more to do with his legs and just being able to burst away from the midfield. Yeah, so I think we would see him in a much more attacking role generally, but being able to play passes like that, Mikel Arteta might be thinking, I'm happy with him a little bit deeper. But it's great that he has that versatility to play in so many different positions.
Jeez, how important was that goal, though? Because the conversation we would have been having here is 6 points behind Liverpool, and they've lost 1-0 without creating a huge amount in games against their two biggest rivals. Whereas now you look at them and go, they've got those two games out of the way. And actually, the other three games they played against lesser opposition, they've just been brushing them aside in a way that cost them last season. So where are you on Arsenal 5 games in?
I'm not sure. I'm rolling into game after game with Arsenal, and I've been impressed. And even today, I come away with the game thinking, Arsenal impressive, really good, but just lack that killer edge and that little bit of quality in the final third, which with the players on the pitch, you think that shouldn't really be much of an issue. I think it's a really, really big week when you look at Newcastle coming up, and you're thinking, if they'd have lost today, you're thinking that's pretty much a must win for Arsenal already in these early stages of the season. I'm not too sure. I think Manchester City, a lot of people at the start of the season are thinking it's not the Manchester City of old, they can't win the Premier League, but I think they're starting to creep into the conversation now. People are saying maybe they can, and look, with Erling Haaland in the form he is, he could hit 30 goals this season, and if he does that, Manchester City are going to be there or thereabouts.
He could hit 30 goals by Christmas.
Yeah,
he's going easily. We almost need to reset our brains though with how City play, because the things that made them so brilliant are no longer there. And you think back again, sort of 2018, 2019, and some of those classic games between themselves and Liverpool. Like, that's the type of classic game that the Premier League now has. It's big, physical, strong players, not as fast, not as fast, but certainly not as technical as it was. It just still feels sort of kilter with what made Guardiola this great coach.
Yeah, it does. Look, I still think it's extremely entertaining, but I think, to put it in black and white terms, I think Guardiola is looking at his dressing room and thinking, we don't quite have the talent of years gone by. Bernardo Silva still has an awful lot to offer, but I don't think he's at that top level that he has been over the last couple of years. So I think he's generally looking at his dressing room and thinking, we don't have the ability to go out with that rock and roll all attack football. And to be fair, I think Manchester United fans must be looking across the city and thinking, if the great Pep Guardiola and Manchester City are going to change tack, then maybe they should be doing the same. And I think in a roundabout way, this will put more pressure on Ruben Amorim. And sorry to bring it back to Manchester United.
It's a nice little drive-by in Amorim there out of nothing.
Yeah, you always never miss a chance to get out to United fans.
So looking at the table, Arsenal 5 points behind City with 7 points from their opening 5 games, which they'll feel is massively disappointing, and 8 points behind Liverpool. I assume they're the top three.
I would have thought so. I still think Liverpool are just that little bit better than everybody. I think Arsenal have got a lot closer with the transfer window they have, but I think Liverpool's transfer window has just been just as good, if not, you know, a little bit better than Arsenal. So I still expect Liverpool to go on and win the league, but make no bones about it, I'd be disappointed if we're going into the last couple of weekends of the season and Arsenal aren't right on the coattails and giving us a real race for it.
All right, great stuff as always, Keith.
Cheers.
Football on Off the Ball
with William Hill. Who you got? 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.